So right after our service, 12 high schoolers and their three adult advisors will be gathering in a couple of vans and heading down to Quad Cities, Iowa, the Quad Cities area, to begin a week of being missionaries on behalf of Christ and serving in the name of our congregation. They're all packed up and ready to go. I saw them out there a little before 9, loading up the vans with what they were instructed to bring. YouthWorks, the organization that oversees this mission trip, it does a very good job of providing information to its participants about what to bring and what not to bring on their trips. They are very clear about the fact that the clothing that should be packed should be clothing that is modest, and that also doesn't advertise tobacco or alcohol or other things that minors are not legally allowed to buy. And after giving very detailed instructions about what to pack and what to leave at home, YouthWorks provides these thoughts. It says, we know that some of the items on this list might not match up with what you usually wear. Sometimes service stretches us beyond what we're used to. And that's okay. Mission trips are all about moving into new territory and experiencing something different. Plus, it's kind of incredible that something as simple as how you pack your bags can be part of the way you begin to serve the community you're headed to. How you pack your bags is a way to begin serving the community you're heading to. It's a pretty profound insight. And I know that YouthWorks was not the first organization to come up with that thought. In fact, we'll find in our next scripture reading, the Gospel of Luke, how Jesus also has some packing instructions to give to 72 folks that he was sending out on a mission trip. And as you will hear, Jesus was a rather more stringent than YouthWorks about what to bring and what to leave at home. Listen now for God's word to you as I share the story from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus appointed 72 disciples and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. May God bless to our hearing and to our living this reading from God's holy word. As I was scanning through my Yahoo News homepage yesterday, I found myself being captivated by this title by an article in the Washington Post. It said, a starving wolf stalked a woman and her dog for 12 hours. Then along came a bear. The story is about a woman named Joanna Barnaby, who lives up in the northern realms that we call Canada, my birth area. And she was out in the Canadian wilderness. She went out with a friend to pick some morel mushrooms. Now, Joanna knows that because this is rather a wild and remote place, that normally she brings her rifle with her, but today she thought, well, I'll only be out for a few hours, and she left it in the car. But she did bring with her her trusted companion, a dog named Joey. So Joanna and Joey and her friend were picking mushrooms together for a while when they decided, let's split up and go to some different areas and meet back here in a couple of hours. Well, an hour and a half into that separate morel mushroom excursion, Joanna heard her dog Joey begin to growl rather ferociously. She turned around. She saw Joey muzzle to muzzle with what she said was a black wolf that looked like it was starving. And she realized that this wolf had its eyes set on both her and Joey, perhaps, for a future meal. And the wolf had come between her and the road, so there's no way to get back to where her van had been parked. And she realized the wolf began to sort of nudge them further and further deeper into the wilderness. All the while, its teeth being bared, its giving out sounds of aggression. Pretty soon, the daylight gave way to dusk. And she knew that she'd be out there with this wolf all night. And indeed, she didn't get much sleep as she heard the wolf moving and growling throughout the evening, realizing that the wolf was trying to separate her from Joey. When the morning came, she was exhausted mentally and physically. She wondered if she was going to survive this. She began to think about people finding her remains and the loss that this would cause to her children. And as she was thinking about this, she began to hear a young bear cub somewhere out in the bush making its sound for its mother. And all of a sudden, she had this wild idea that maybe what she should do to try to create some distraction to get away from this wolf was to get between the cub and the mother bear. So this could go horribly wrong, but it might be my only way of surviving. So she did that. She got between the cub and the mother bear, made some sound, and lo and behold, in a few moments, the mama bear came rummaging through the brush, looking to decide who was a threat to her cub. At that point, she realized, hopefully the bear will see the wolf and take us out on the wolf, and I can get out of here. So she and Joey began to quickly exit stage left. And her plan worked. The last thing she heard was a bear and a wolf going at it. And she eventually made her way back to the road and was safe. I found myself thinking, what would it be like to be out all night knowing that a wolf has you in its sight? You don't have much, really, aside from a loyal dog to try to protect you. It's not the way I would want to spend an evening, to be sure. And yet, Jesus says in that scripture that we just heard that that's kind of the image that came to him when he thought about the mission that he has for us. He said, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Like Joanna, his idea is that we would be sent out among the wolves without protection. No guns, no weapons, no nothing. He says, do not take a purse or bag or sandals. He doesn't sound like he's too preoccupied here with our safety or our security. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves without any armor. Leave behind the mace, the pepper spray. I don't care whether you've got a concealed weapon permit, leave your gun at home. In fact, leave all of your luggage at home. No backpacks, no purses. Don't bother putting in any trail mix or protein bars. You won't be using your ATM card or your cell phone. Leave that as well as your GPS. No change of clothing. No extra pair of shoes. I don't know about you, but that's not normally how I try to prepare for any trip that I'm taking. Especially when I'm going to a place I'm not really familiar with. Remember when I took a trip to Kenya and to Russia, my first thought was, I gotta find an adapter so my cell phone can be charged in these foreign countries. And I'll be on the plane for quite a while, so it would be great to have some granola bar with, you know, some trail mix with the M&Ms mixed into it. You sort of think about every eventuality. And you want to make sure you bring all the comforts of home that you can bring, that you can either put into a roll-on bag or check in. God forbid, you know, that you're on a trip and you don't have something that you know that you just might need. But Jesus says, no, we're traveling really, really lightly. And I'm wondering if he's trying here to get into the hearts and minds of his followers that the most important reality that you will need can't be put into a backpack or a roll-on bag. It's not something you can put in the bottom of a duffel bag. That what you really need, you're not going to be able to pick up from a pharmacy or a gun shop or an Apple store or even from Meijer. That what you really need most of all will not be things you can put into a bag. It will be the faith that you carry in God within you. That he's trying to teach us that really what we need most of all to be successful in carrying out his work is to have a deep trust in the one that Jesus knows as our Heavenly Father. That's certainly a lesson that God tries to get into the heart and mind of a young man named Jeremiah. He was probably about the age of our high school missionaries. And God shows up uninvited in Jeremiah's life. He says, I got a job for you. I'm appointing you to be a prophet, to speak to rulers of this earth, to speak my word to those in power. And Jeremiah hears that, and the first thing he thinks about is, I'm not equipped. He looks into his own heart and mind, I'm not prepared for this. I don't have the requisite wisdom or experience. I don't know how to talk to kings or queens or generals or any other muckety-muck. You've got the wrong person here. I'm not bringing much at all to the table. I'm just a boy. I'm not providing what you need to make this successful. And Jeremiah here, of course, stands in a long line of folks who respond similarly when God's got a plan up his sleeve. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was told she had a child. She was well beyond childbearing age, we're told. And so when she hears that she'll be pregnant, she laughs because she knows that her body is as good as dead, the Bible says. It's a great plan, God, she says, but you might have overlooked the fact that I'm 80 years old. God came calling for Moses to go speak to Pharaoh. And Moses says, you know, Lord, you might have missed the fact that I am slow of tongue. I get caught up in my words. You might have been a stutterer. Isaiah sees God, and God says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah realizes, that can't be me. I'm a sinner. God came calling for Mary. And Mary said, well, you know, I'm not married. How can it be that I'll have a child? Now, God tends to think outside of the box, apparently. Not looking for the best, the brightest, the most qualified. In fact, God seems to delight in finding folks who really are not properly prepared, for those who bring a sense of inadequacy. I find that reassuring every Sunday when I stand up here. Part of my job is to speak the Word of God. And if I stop and think, I realize how ridiculous that is. To speak the Word of God, I'm woefully inadequate to that challenge, totally unqualified. How does one possibly do justice to the Word of God? I have no capacity to carry that out. I can't change a single heart on my own, can't open any human mind. I'm aware of my own hypocrisy as a follower of Christ. They own the feebleness of my own faith. And yet God says to me, what He says to Jeremiah, what He says to the 72, what He says to all of us, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you. It's a truth that God wants to get into all of our hearts. Because we're all called by God to do the work that God has in store for us. God told Jeremiah an amazing, mind-blowing truth. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before you arrived on the stage, I already had plans for you, Jeremiah. And guess what? The gospel says the same thing about each of us. The writer of the letter to the Ephesians says, God chose us in Christ. When? Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. God had in mind, before the Big Bang, that we would show up at a certain time in a certain place, that we had already been chosen, called, set apart by God to do the work of God. Christ Himself affirms that in the last night of His earthly life when He says to His followers, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. And think about that. We're chosen before the world is formed, called by Christ to go and to bear fruit in this world that God has formed as a single greatest reality in our lives. Sometimes the call is to go and spend a week in the Quad City area of Iowa. Sometimes it's to be a pastor. Sometimes it's to be a missionary in our own neighborhoods, our own schools, offices. No matter how we serve or what God's specific task is, the common thing is that God calls us all to learn to trust and to depend upon God. The one who calls us, equips us. And out in the wilderness, out there in the Canadian remote regions, Joanna did not have her usual way of protecting herself. She had no gun. But, you know, a bear happened to be there at the right moment. And began thinking, God can be very creative in sending us just what we need. I wouldn't have thought of a bear, but you know, God thinks be outside the box. And Christ says to those He sends out, you're not going to need to bring your luggage because the people that you will stay with, those to whom I will send you, they will be the means to which God will feed you and house you and care for you. You're not going there just to drop off your good-hearted responses and solutions to the problems of these people. No, you are going there to learn that God will minister to you through them. So God is very creative in joining us together, allowing all of us to be recipients and to be givers of God's grace. We don't just live on one side or the other of that line. We go and realize that God is always providing and caring for us. And sometimes the care comes from the last place that we might expect. So often we are self-focused in thinking what we need to do to care for ourselves. Christ says, no, let God show you what God can do by caring for you, protecting you, blessing you in ways you might never have thought of. See, that's when life becomes exciting, fulfilling, transformative. And the God who sent out those 72 missionaries that said, the people to whom I send you will bless you and feed you, is now sending out our 15 missionaries here this morning. And God will do the exact same thing. He will say, I will bless you and feed you and house you through the people already there in the Quad Cities area. So be at look for me, God's saying. I might be there in that single mom who's struggling to make ends meet. You might see her simply as a poor person. I see her as a daughter who will bless you. Or God might bless you through an addict who is struggling in recovery. Or a child who shows up for a vacation Bible school. It might be one of the youth work staff who will be there to shepherd you. And I know that part of what you do on these trips is you have a time to share each night for what are called yay gods or God moments. It's a way to remind you to be at look. Look out. Keep your eyes open. For the God who sends you is already there, waiting to reveal to you mercy and grace and love in a way that only a God of such overwhelming care for us could possibly come up with. We look forward to hearing what this great God will be up to in you and through you this coming week, and look forward to hearing your reports next Sunday when you return to us. All praise and honor and glory are due to this God, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.